You won't need no angels, you won't need no luck, you won't need no sympathy. So won't you hold on, hold on to me. I ain't no more can receive love. Hold on, hold on to me.
Well, welcome, it's In and Out Cabaddy World Cup special. We'll be with you for the next 2 weeks for all the Dupkeys, Toe Touches and Bulk Lines as they've gone international now and the world comes to India for a 12-team extravaganza. It all comes to an end on the 22nd of October 2016 as we see who will be the Kabaddi World Champions. Our man inside the action once more is the one and only Sahel Chanduk. Sahel, you're out there in Ahmedabad now. How's it all going?
Yeah, it's been quite an adventure, to say the least, in terms of just the way the sport has grown. And to see it now go to the world and go global, it's quite a special feeling, really. And being in Ahmedabad for this Kabaddi World Cup's certainly been quite something.
And just give us a sense of what Ahmedabad, the city, is like, the host city of this first Kabaddi World Cup.
Well, it's a city where which is growing. It's growing in infrastructure. Obviously, our Prime Minister Narendra Modi is from here, and he's really working on the development of this city. So, you know, the sporting culture is trying to change as well. And it's a dry state, so you're not going to get anything to drink. So that's one to remember for anyone coming in from outside of India. But look, it's an interesting state. It's got some great food, which always appeals to me. So it should be a fun couple of weeks ahead.
So nice food for you, but no beers to wash it down with, or Bacardi Breezes, or whatever your choice of drink would be. Whiskey?
Thanks. Thanks, Dan. Yeah. I'll stick to my Japanese single malts, yep.
Always expensive taste from Sahel. So the format for the World Cup is a fairly simple format. It's two pools of six. The top two heading into the semi-finals, and we find out the winners on the 22nd of October. So quite short and quite sharp. What are your views on that format, and sort of with it being such an intense sport and such a physical sport, how are the players going to cope?
I think it's going to be okay because, you know, I mean, you remember when we watched the Pro Kabaddi League and stuff, we've got these guys playing back-to-back for 4 days straight. And actually, when you see them play in their national tournaments, they're playing 2-3 games a day. So, you know, for them, they're used to it. And I think it will be a challenge for some of the other teams because obviously they're going to be battered and bruised by some of the better sides. So it's a case of how quickly you can recover.
So the pools. Pool A, we've got India, Bangladesh. That'll be an interesting match between those two for local rivalry. England, Australia, South Korea and Argentina. Who stands out for you in Pool A?
Well, India, obviously the obvious choice in that lineup, but South Korea for me are going to be a great side to watch. They're exciting. They're a side that have, they're a country rather, that have introduced a great sporting infrastructure all of a sudden. And they've actually gone and introduced Kabaddi in a lot of their universities. So they're clearly trying to grow the sport in Korea. They are they've got a face in Jang Kun Lee, Tai Deok Yeom as well in that midst. And, you know, they look really solid. I saw them in the practice games and their defense looks really good. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. And you know, I would think they'd be the side that might just join India to go through to the semifinals from that group.
Yeah, Jang Kun Lee, of course, 49 successful raids in PKL4 playing for the Bengali team. He's going to be very important, as you said. Now, what it flagged up to me when I was going through the teams, you mentioned about Tai Deok Yeom. He's a player who has been involved with JPP, but limited experience in PKL. Is that going to be sort of how it goes? Each team have got one player, maybe two players that have been involved in some way, shape or form in PKL, but Jang Kun Lee is one of the only ones that's really sort of shone at that level.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because Jang Kun Lee has been out and out the best foreign national player at the Pro Kabaddi League, you know, and that's saying something because he's gone away and reinvented himself every season, and he really has been impressive to watch. For me, he definitely stands out. I mean, there's a few sides that have guys who've warmed the bench in the Pro Kabaddi League. I mean, Poland, for instance, have Michael Szpiczko. Japan have Shimokawa, who was on the bench of U-Mumba and played a few games as well. So, you know, there's a few guys that have had the experience or at least been around the training camps with these sides and would definitely gain a whole lot from there.
So looking beyond India and South Korea, you've obviously got Bangladesh. I mean, a South Asian country in Bangladesh, you'd expect them to be relatively strong. Although I note as well, the likes of Sri Lanka aren't in the pools.
Yeah, I mean, Bangladesh for me are another really decent side. I mean, I saw them in practice as well, and they look really good to watch. There's one man in particular, Tuhin Tarafdar, who really impressed me with his all-round skill. And, he's someone I think to watch as this tournament wears on. He'll be impressive. Their captain, Munshi Aradhuzaman, is another one to watch. So those are the two key men from Bangladesh. But for me, they don't seem to have too much else, which is why I don't see them threatening India. But the game between South Korea and Bangladesh is going to be a good one.
How big a score do you think, for example, India versus England could be, or India Australia? You know, some of the, and we're not. I'm not saying this to demean any of the other teams, but some of the lesser teams against India. Is it going to be,
Well,
for example, a cricket score?
the only thing that's saving the other squads is the fact that Anup Kumar is captaining India, which means they're not going to go hell for leather. They'll stay controlled in the way they go about things. And, he's someone that actually likes to play with a little bit of pressure. So he might even just ease off a little bit, play on the defense, try a few things different. But if it was, say, Rahul Chaudhary who was captain, they would just go berserk. I still expect a big difference in scoreline, perhaps. But you'll start to see India trying a few different things. So they might just let them off the hook. But yeah, teams like England, America, Argentina might just struggle a little bit.
And looking at Pool B, you've got Iran, USA, Poland, who you mentioned a minute ago. Kenya. Now, one thing I hadn't realised was Kenya actually have a player. I'd forgotten Simon Kabura, who was in Pro Kabaddi League 4 as well. The Thais and Japan, a sort of a closer group by the looks of it, probably, except for Iran in Pool B.
Yeah, it's an interesting group. Actually, Kenya seemed to have a decent history, and they've come out and said if we make the semi-finals, we've been promised sponsorship. So they've got something to look forward to. They've got some motivation, obviously, to play towards. So they're going to be an interesting side to watch as in that second pool. So for me, they'll be interesting. They've obviously got the athletic build for the game, but it's a case of how tactical they can come in and use it. So. It's gonna be good to watch for the neutrals, and I mean there's a couple of sides that obviously are testing the waters here, and it's going to be tough for some sides, but Kenya will be great to watch.
Of course, history at Kabaddi is very so deeply rooted in and around India, Sri Lanka, those sort of areas. Where does the history come from with the other nations? Why are these nations playing Kabaddi all of a sudden?
Well, the sport's going global. You look at the numbers in India, and we had over 100 million viewers. So clearly there's money now in the sport. There's an ability to make a life and a living out of it. I mean, I spoke to some of the guys from Poland and from Iran, and they were saying, look, it's for us. It's a way to change our lives, and it's really a valid reason to go out and play a sport that perhaps many others aren't playing either. So, it is an opportunity to make a name for yourself.
And of course, with you mentioned the Iranians there, with the likes of Mehrdad Sheikh, he could be superbly exciting. One of the top raiders in the Pro Kabaddi League plays for Delhi, doesn't he? I think Mehrdad Sheikh, and that really could strengthen them. How do you think if they came up against India in the latter stages, how do you think Iran would fare?
They've got one thing on their mind, which is gold. We spoke to Miraj before the tournament kicked off, and he just said, look, we lost to India by 2 points in the last Asian Games in Incheon in 2014, and all he wants to do is avenge that defeat. And I'll tell you what, they're a top side. They are just a super super side. We've seen glimpses of it in the Pro Kabaddi League, and we saw three or four guys who were astonishingly good. They all four of them haven't even made the starting seven in this lineup. So it goes to show that they've actually got even more depth that we haven't seen. So, they're going to be a really, really, really big threat to India. And I mean, I obviously suspect that that's the final we'll see is India versus Iran. And that will be an absolute cracker.
I will be the absolutely amazing game to watch. Now, of course, we mentioned India. They are the hot favourites for the event, especially being on home soil. And really, it's a team of stars, a bit of a dream team. How well are they balanced? They look like a very well mixed team, a very well balanced team across their raiders and their defenders. But will the pressure of the home crowd, will it have a positive or a negative effect, I suppose?
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? And that's what we've got to wait and see. But I mean, expect them to come out firing pretty quick. They want to get off on the right note. They've got, like you said, the perfect all-round complete side. I mean, you're talking about the best in the business in many ways. You know, you've got Manji Chhilla, who's probably the best cover in the business. You've got Dharmaraj Cherulathan, who's 41 years old and making his debut for India, which is well deserved. I mean, I think that left corner has been a position that he's wanted for a long time, and he's finally got his due after he won the Pro Kabaddi League with Patna. You've got Jasveer Singh that can play the mental games as well. You've got Anup Kumar, who is a legend in his own right. You know, then you've got the youngsters in Mohit Chhilla and Surendra Nada on the two corners as well. So, you know, it's a really good side. And when then you look at the bench strength, and you've got Pradeep Narwal sitting on the bench, Ajay Thakur warming the bench, Sandeep Narwal warming the bench. I mean, this is a ridiculous side. And Rahul Chaudhary, for me, obviously, is still going to be the lead raider coming into this one for India.
What I love, as you say there, Narwal and Thak are both warming the bench. And when you think back to Pro Kabaddi League, they're two names that we said again and again and again and again for their starring quality. Do you think Jasveer will get much time, or is he there more for his sort of wily old head and his almost an assistant coaching role?
No, he's going to be well in there. I mean, I'll tell you what, Jasveer is a wily character, because he's got the agility in a frame that you wouldn't see it from. And when you come up against players that maybe haven't seen too much of you, he can throw you off guard completely. I mean, what he does so well is unsettle the defense. And that's exactly what you're going to see with Jasveer here. And that could completely throw the opposition off.
Balwant Singh is the coach leading the way for India. Is he the right man for the job? How do you assess his tactics?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. He's someone that's already led India to, I think, 3 Asian Games gold medals. And, you know, he's probably one of the most experienced coaches out there. He coached the Jaipur Pink Panthers in season 4 as well. And he's got his own style of coaching. He tends to get the best out of the boys because of the respect they have for him, though. And that's, you know, something that is worth noting. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting one to watch how he manages the biggest stars in the business. So it's sort of going to be a case of man management in many ways as well. So let's see. It's going to be an interesting one.
Do you think there could be a few egos in that Indian team then?
Yeah, could be. But, you know, this is they're here to do one thing, and that's win gold. And I think that will come through more than anything else. So I think that's just going to be the overriding feel of the entire World Cup for India.
So looking at the other teams, we've spoken about individuals like Mehraj Sheikh and Jankun Lee and people like that. But if you look at team tactics from what you've seen in the run-up to the World Cup, are any teams using different tactics from what we've seen in Pro Kabaddi League? Are there any, you know, is anyone trying to rewrite what's happening to, you know, almost surprise the Indian teams?
You know, this is where it's quite interesting to see the way the sport has grown, because, you know, you've got India playing with their tactical awareness and, you know, a bit of guile, and, you know, you've got the mental side of it a lot. Then you've got the explosivity that the Iranians bring, you know, and that's completely different to watch and phenomenal to watch. Then you've got the spontaneity that comes with the Koreans, and, you know, they're so agile in their ways. So, you know, it's a very different set of playing styles, and each team seems to have a different ethos to them. So for me, it's going to be a nice, interesting way to watch how the game is actually evolving in these different countries.
The other thing that sort of is a change with Kabaddi, we've seen this with Pro Kabaddi League, is obviously Kabaddi being an ancient sport, Sahel, it has its origins in sort of the dust and the mud of rural India, really. How will the new format affect these other teams? Because surely they're, in some cases, especially the likes of Bangladesh and the origins of the sport around the world are based in the old format of Kabaddi, not the new format. Will that sort of lead to an experience from a lot of the teams because they're used to playing the old style of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting to see, because obviously, as you said, this is the first time that we're getting teams that are playing this format of the sport. So, but at the same time, it's the first time in 9 years that there is a World Cup, and everyone now is here because they're excited after the Pro Kabaddi League. So everyone's watched this new format quite a bit. I think it's the right way to go forward, because this is where the game has evolved, and that's how it should be. You know, the game has evolved in this direction because it's more exciting, and because it is much better to watch as well, you know. So it's gone in this direction for a good reason, and it's good to see how teams have adapted. But it will be interesting to see if all teams have adapted, because obviously there's many that have trained in the old style of Kabaddi. So let's see how we go.
Now, looking ahead to the first ties for this weekend and what we can expect, we mentioned it earlier on right at the top of the show, but the big game of, well, Pool A really, India versus Korea. What a rip snorter to start the action tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a great round. For me, I've been fortunate to be part of the Pro Kabaddi League since game one, and you know, I've got the good fortune of calling this one. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to watching India up close and watching the best of the best come together. And Jankun Lee for me is exciting as well. So yeah, I'm really, really, really looking forward to this one.
How are you calling that one? Are you thinking India win despite Jankun Lee?
Yeah, I think they will have Jankun Lee covered. I mean, they'll come in with a set tactic to just take him off the game and off court rather, and that's it. That'll peg Korea back. Expect some really good tackling though, because their defense looks solid, the Koreans, and I think that they will be really good in the corners. The chain tackles from them seems to be something that they really like to go to, so that's something to watch out for.
And then moving on this evening, 9 p.m. In India, USA versus Iran. Now that would suggest to me one-way traffic to Iran, but Troy Bacon is leading the USA, and I've got all sorts of jokes about his surname coming up over the next few weeks. Don't worry about it. But how do you assess the Americans there? Do they stand any chance?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Bacon's going to be pretty burnt at the end of the night. But
I've got Bacon's going to be sizzling. Is Troy going to bring home
no,
the bacon?
No, that Bacon's probably not going to be sizzling against Iran, though, Dan.
I've got all sorts. He's going to be staking a claim, Troy Bacon.
it's going to be an interesting one, though. I mean, for the USA, it's... You know, it's a question of just coming out and enjoying themselves as well a little bit, I think, because it's going to be a tough challenge. It's not going to be easy coming up, especially against a side like Iran. And for a lot of them, they're getting their first real taste of the game, you know, and to do it under the spotlight and in the big lights and on the world stage, it's not easy. But, you know, they're giving it a crack, and that's good to watch.
And just looking ahead to the couple of games on Saturday, England versus Bangladesh, Poland versus Kenya. Very, very difficult to call in this at these early stages. Obviously, normally we do preview the matches as we kind of have with the first two games here. But for us at the moment, it's almost a bit too unknown, this World Cup. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Poland are actually the fittest side out there. I mean, they made me feel terrible about myself. I mean, you walk past them and these guys are just like, every single one of them has an 8-pack or like or more. I don't even know what there is beyond that, but it is a joke how fit these guys are. But they came out in the practice game and got absolutely schooled by Korea, because all they did was come in with chain tackles, and you could be Hercules and you're not going to go through a chain of two guys holding each other's hands in the way that chain tackle does. And they realized that pretty quickly, or I hope they have, because they've got to go back to the drawing board and understand that it's not going to be about how you use your strength, but what you do with that strength. So it'll be interesting to see.
And the other two games that stand out for me in the opening exchange is Thailand versus Iran. Okay, Thailand, depends what strength they've got beyond their players that have been involved in the Pro Kabaddi League. And I'm just searching around for the names of that player now. It is for Thailand, Ponchutin and Komsan Tongkam, who's a Paneri Pultan player. Against Iran, you've got to think they're going to struggle, as we said earlier, with Iran being so strong, but at least they're a team with some level of Pro Kabaddi experience. And the other one, which is on Tuesday, which you mentioned Kenya earlier, Iran-Kenya, could Kenya be the team that stand up to Iran in that pool?
I don't think they're going to stand up to Iran, but they'll put up a good fight. I mean, they will be good to watch. You know, I think it's tough to see teams really putting up a fight against Iran, because Iran just look insanely good on paper. I haven't seen too much of them really on court yet, but I expect them to come out all guns blazing. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this side develops as the tournament wears on. But if they come out in the same vein that we think they will, they're going to be a damaging unit.
There you go. They're going to be a damaging unit. We're going to do a quick in and out. And today, Sahel, is a really, really easy one for you, because it's a preview show. It's purely an in and out of why this Kabaddi World Cup is going to be so special.
All right, let's do this. Okay, well, the 2016 Kabaddi World Cup is 15 days of 12 nations from 5 continents going to battle. It's the first time that the World Cup has come in with the new Pro Kabaddi rules, a do or die raids, a 30-second raid clock. And it's the third edition of the World Cup, the first one in 9 years. So, you know, this is India's gift to the sporting world. This is India's very own sport going global. And for me, this is a new era for the game of Kabaddi. And it's going to be really, really, really epic to watch. India's won 7 Asian Games gold. Remember, Iran ran them really hot in the last edition with just a deficit of 2. So this is a bold new step highlighting the new modern international competitive face of Kabaddi. And it's gone through the length and breadth of India. Now it's going beyond. So it's going to be exciting to watch. And you guys should tune in.
You should tune in. And hopefully you will tune in to In and Out Kabaddi over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a World Cup special of In and Out Kabaddi. We'll be coming to hopefully a couple of times a week. Me and Sahel will try and catch up with all the gossip, reviews, previews and all the fun from the Kabaddi World Cup, because normally Sahel can get us a scoop or two as well. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and on our website, which the website currently hosting this is www.danstrange.tv, and sign up to us on Twitter at In and Out Kabaddi, at DanStrangeTV, and Sahel, yours is?
At Sahel Chandok, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and we will have some fun on there.
Guys, brilliant. We'll see you all again very, very soon. Goodbye.
One day I'll say I told you so that, oh.